Okay, so this is day 4 of the edging challenge. My lovely friend has yet again rolled a die, and today apparently we are doing some hysterical literature. So I am reading a story called The White Cat while using a vibrator on my clit. So I have no faith that we'll be able to read the whole story. It's kind of a long story, but we'll see how far I get without coming. Because I can't come. Because I have to edge. So, my trusty vibrator. I'm putting it on my clit. Okay. The White Cat. Once upon a time, there was a king who had 3 sons, who were all so clever and brave that he began to be afraid that they would want to reign over the kingdom before he was dead. Now, the king, though he felt that he was growing old, did not at all wish to give up the government of his kingdom while he could still manage it very well. So he thought the best way to live in peace would be to divert the minds of his sons by promises which he could always get out of when the time came for keeping them. So he sent for them all, and after speaking to them kindly, he added, "You will quite agree with me, my dear children, that my great age makes it impossible for me to look after my affairs of state as carefully as I once did. I begin to fear that this may affect the welfare of my subjects. Therefore, I wish that one of you should succeed to my crown. But in return for such a gift as this, it is only right that you should do something for me. Now, as I think of retiring into the country, it seems to me that a pretty, lively, faithful little dog would be very good company for me. So, without any regard for your ages, I promise that the one who brings me the most beautiful little dog shall succeed me at once." The 3 princes were greatly surprised by their father's sudden fancy for a little dog, but as it gave the 2 younger ones a chance they would not otherwise have had of being king, and as the eldest was too polite to make any objection, they accepted the commission with pleasure. They bade farewell to the king, who gave them presents of silver and precious stones, and appointed to meet them at the same hour in the same place after a year had passed to see the little dogs they had brought for him. Then they went together to a castle which was about a league from the city, accompanied by other particular friends, to whom they gave a grand banquet, and the 3 brothers promised to be friends always, to share whatever good fortune befell them, and not to be parted by any envy or jealousy. And so they set out, agreeing to meet at the same castle at the appointed time, to present themselves before the king together. Each one took a different road, and the 2 eldest met with many adventures, but it is about the youngest that you are going to hear. He was young and gay and handsome, and knew everything that a prince ought to know, and for his courage there was simply no end to it. Hardly a day passed without his buying several dogs, big and little, greyhounds, mastiffs, spaniels, and lap dogs. As soon as he had bought a pretty one, he was sure to see a still prettier, and then he had to get rid of all the others and buy that one, as being alone, he found it impossible to take 30,000 or 40,000 dogs about with him. He journeyed from day to day, not knowing where he was going, until at last, just at nightfall, he reached a great gloomy forest. He did not know his way, and to make matters worse, it began to thunder, and rain poured down. He took the first path he could find, and after walking for a long time, he fancied he saw a faint light, and began to hope that he was coming to some cottage where he might find shelter for the night. At length, guided by the light, he reached the door of the most splendid castle he could have imagined. This door was of gold, covered with carbuncles, and it was pure red light which shone from them, and had shown him the way through the forest. The walls were of the finest porcelain, and in all the most delicate colors, and the prince saw that all the stories he had ever read were pictured upon them. But as he was quite terribly wet and the rain still fell in torrents, he could not stay to look about any more, but came back to the golden door. There he saw a deer's foot hanging by a chain of diamonds, and he began to wonder who could live in this magnificent castle. They must feel very secure against robbers, he said to himself. What is to hinder anyone from cutting off that chain and digging out those carbuncles and making himself rich for life? He pulled the deer's foot, and immediately a silver bell sounded and the door flew open, but the prince could see nothing but numbers of hands in the air, each holding a torch. He was so much surprised that he stood quite still until he felt himself pushed forward by other hands, so that though he was somewhat uneasy, he could not help going on. With his hand on his sword, to be prepared for whatever might happen, he entered a hall paved with lapis lazuli, while two lovely voices sang. The prince could not believe that any danger threatened him when he was welcomed in this way, so guided by the mysterious hands, he went towards the door of coral, which opened of its own accord, and he found himself in a vast hall of mother of pearl, out of which opened a number of other rooms, glittering with thousands of lights, and full of such beautiful pictures and precious things that the prince felt quite bewildered. After passing through 60 rooms, the hands that conducted him stopped, and the prince saw a most comfortable-looking armchair drawn up close to the chimney corner. At the same moment, the fire lighted itself, and the pretty, soft, clever hands took off the prince's wet, muddy clothes and presented him with fresh ones made of the richest stuffs, all embroidered with gold and emeralds. He could not help admiring everything he saw and the deft way in which the hands waited on him, though they sometimes appeared so suddenly that they made him jump when he was ready, and I can assure you that he looked very different from the wet and weary prince who had stood outside in the rain and pulled on the deer's foot. The hands led him to a splendid room upon the walls of which were painted the histories of Puss in Boots and a number of other famous cats. The table was laid for supper with two golden plates and golden spoons and forks, and the sideboard was covered with dishes and glasses of crystal set with precious stones. The prince was wondering who the second place could be for when suddenly in came about a dozen cats carrying guitars and rolls of music, who took their places at one end of the room, and under the direction of a cat who beat time with a roll of paper, began to mew in every imaginable key and to draw their claws across the strings of the guitars, making the strangest kinds of music that could be heard. The prince hastily stopped up his ears, but even then the sight of these comical musicians sent him into fits of laughter. "What funny thing shall I see next?" he said to himself, and instantly the door opened and in came a tiny figure covered by a long black veil. It was conducted by two cats wearing black mantles and carrying swords. And a large party of cats followed, who brought in cages full of rats and mice. The prince was so much astonished that he thought he must be dreaming, but the little figure came up to him and threw back its veil, and he saw that it was the loveliest little white cat and it is possible to imagine. She looked very young and very sad, and in a sweet little voice that went straight to his heart, she said to the prince, "King's son, you are welcome. The Queen of Cats is glad to see you." "Lady Cat," replied the prince, "I thank you for receiving me so kindly, but surely you are no ordinary pussy cat. Indeed, the way you speak and the magnificence of your castle prove it plainly." "King's son," said the white cat, I beg you to spare me these compliments, for I'm not used to them. But now," she added, "let supper be served, and let the musicians be silent, as the prince does not understand what they are saying." So the mysterious hands began to bring in the supper, and first they put on the table two dishes, one containing stewed pigeons, and another a fricassee of fat mice. The sight of the latter made the prince feel as if he could not enjoy his supper at all, but the white cat, seeing this, assured him that the dishes intended for him were prepared in a separate kitchen, and he might be quite certain that they contain neither rats nor mice. And the prince felt so sure that she would not deceive him, that he had no more hesitation in beginning. Presently he noticed that on the little paw that was next to him, the white cat wore a bracelet containing a portrait, and he begged to be allowed to look at it. To his great surprise, he found it represented an extremely handsome young man who was so like himself that it might have been his own portrait. The white cat sighed as he looked at it and seemed sadder than ever, and the prince dared not ask any questions for fear of displeasing her. So he began to talk about other things and found that she was interested in all the subjects he cared for himself and seemed to know quite well what was going on in the world. After supper, they went into another room, which was fitted up as a theater, and the cats acted and danced for their amusement. And then the white cat said goodnight to him, and the hands conducted him into a room he had not seen before, hung with tapestry, worked with butterfly wings of every color. There were mirrors that reached from the ceiling to the floor, and a little white bed with curtains of gauze tied up with ribbons. The prince went to bed in silence, as he did not quite know how to begin a conversation with the hands that waited on him, and in the morning he was awakened by a noise and confusion outside his window, and the hands came and quickly dressed him in a hunting costume. When he looked out, all the cats were assembled in the courtyard, some leading great hounds, some blowing horns, for the white cat was going out hunting. The hands led a wooden horse up to the prince, and seemed to expect him to mount it, at which he was very indignant, but it was no use for him to object, for he speedily found himself upon its back, and it pranced gaily off with him. The white cat herself was riding a monkey, which climbed even up to the eagle's nests, when she had a fancy for the young eaglets. Neither was there a pleasanter hunting party, and when they returned to the castle, the prince and the white cat supped together as before, but when they had finished, she offered him a crystal goblet, which must have contained a magic draught, for as soon as he had swallowed the contents, he forgot everything, even the little dog that he was seeking for the king, and only thought how happy he was to be with the white cat. And so the days passed in every kind of amusement until the year was nearly gone. The prince had forgotten all about meeting his brothers. He did not even know what country he belonged to, but the white cat knew when he ought to go back, and one day said to him, "Do you know that you have only 3 days left to look for the little dog for your father, and your brothers have found lovely ones?" The prince suddenly recovered his memory and cried, "What can have made me forget such an important thing? My whole fortune depends upon it, and even if I could in such short time find a dog pretty enough to gain me a kingdom, where should I find a horse who could carry me all the way in 3 days?" And he began to be very vexed. But the white cat said to him, "King's son, do not trouble yourself. I am your friend and will make everything easy for you. You can still stay here for a day, as the good wooden horse can take you to your country in 12 hours. "I thank you, beautiful cat," said the prince, "but what good will it do me to get back if I have not a dog to take to my father?" "See here," answered the white cat, holding up an acorn. "There is a prettier one in this than in the dog star." "Oh, white cat dear," said the prince, "how unkind you are to laugh at me now." "Only listen," she said, holding the acorn to his ear, and inside it he distinctly heard a tiny voice say, "Bow wow." The prince was delighted, for a dog that can be shut up in an acorn must be very small indeed. He wanted to take it out and look at it, but the white cat said it would be better not to open the acorn until he was before the king, in case the tiny dog should be cold on the journey. Oh, fuck. I need to stop. Or I'm gonna come. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. 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 And I might continue the story for you later. So that was day 4.